Welcome to Fantastic Females, our adventure to finding the mythical island of freedom together. I'm Kalyani.
And I'm Rupali. We are your next-door finance experts sharing our experiences in the world of money and energetics.
Hello everyone, welcome to today's episode with our dear friend Jayashi Pau. She was supposed to be the first guest we had on the podcast, so we're very honored to have her with us today. She is a qualified accountant and she works in a lot of different capacities, bringing her knowledge and skills to small businesses and individuals. I'll leave that to her to explain and clarify and talk about.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to finally arrive. I couldn't put it off any longer.
Yes.
So here I am. And hopefully we'll have an interesting conversation. So a little about me. I am Jayashi Pau. I have founded the company Insightful Numbers. And the reason to have found the company was because I wanted to help people with the numbers. I'm an accountant by profession. I have worked in the corporate industry since after university. And I took a break when I came into Dubai, a 10-year break. And then I decided to go back into work.
And that's so inspiring. Because you didn't let the break stop you. The break hasn't actually stopped you in the real world, whereas people make you believe that once you take a break, that's the end of it.
No, it's the knowledge you gain through your work and your experience in life stays with you. And that's what I found. And I think my interest and my passion for numbers and business kind of stays with me and is part of me. So that's what I wanted to do. How can I use that experience, that knowledge to help others who are entrepreneurs, businesses, to develop their businesses further and to help them with their strategy? So I started Insightful Numbers.
Yeah, because I wanted to bring up the fact that accounting is only a small part of what you actually do and offer, as we have experienced firsthand. Can you Absolutely. Talk a little bit about exactly what you do for our audience that may not have ever dealt with an accountant or know what it entails?
So accounting is quite vast, right? It starts from bookkeeping to accounting, producing audited financial statements, which auditors do. There's tax specialists. So what I do is I provide fractional CFO services.
Okay.
So I look at everything in business related. So when we set up a business, we have a business strategy, a business plan. Some people do have those, some businesses don't. Businesses that don't have business strategy or plan, I help them to prepare that. So we go through preparing the numbers and understanding what the strategy is, because it's important to have a strong strategy. I then, as added value services, I help them to look at their books, do their bookkeeping and their accounting, and then we discuss the actual result of the company based against the strategy and the plan that we've set. So when you set a budget or a plan, it's looking at the future. So in fact, a CFO looks at the future of the company. We also do is look at your accounts and your numbers to see how the business is performing. And then if you need to take a new direction in your business, how you can do that based on your current performance, market trend, how you may need to change your business, maybe new ideas you want to implement. So we look through those ideas and see if it's feasible or not. Just discuss.
So that's interesting what you mentioned, because people think of accounts as just bookkeeping, right? Which is your current business, the past numbers, all of that. But what you do is you look at the past, you do an analysis, you incorporate bits on market and your projections based on the past as well as where the markets are currently and the opportunity set. You help people figure out for themselves their strategy, right?
Absolutely. Because when we start a business, we have a vision, right? We have a product that we want to sell, a service that we want to sell. We've identified that there is a market, a clientele for it, and then we go into business. Sometimes it may not transpire as we had thought it would or we had planned it would. So at that point, what do you do? Do you continue or do you make a change? Right thing to do is make a change, right? So we look at how we make that change. What are the possibilities? But we look at what's the cause for those results as well. Is there some easy tweaks that we can do? Is it the way we're promoting a product that isn't working? Is it the cost base that isn't right? Is it the delivery channels, the logistics is costing us more than it should? Can we find alternative logistics providers? If you're a manufacturing plant, is it, and you're manufacturing, producing your product, is it costing you a lot more to produce it? Can we use better technology? Can we create efficiencies to produce that cheaper? Pricing, how can we change pricing? Pricing is always a big topic. It's a sensitive topic as well. So we look at different methods of pricing, which is in line with what the customer will want to pay, etc. So it's so huge. It's we look at it from all 360 as possible. And it's all about making assumptions.
Yes, very much so.
Which are backed by research and stats. So that's, you make an assumption, but it's got to be real.
For an economics student, you'd always start with the list of assumptions. I think it's similar.
For accounting, similar for when you create your budgets and your plans. If you are going to say you're going to make sales of 50,000 a month, how are you going to get there?
Yeah.
What is the price that you're going to charge? What is the, how many units are you going to sell to in order to achieve those in sales? What promotions are you going to use? For example, if your product is seasonal, then you might put in some more money into advertising to promote those products to increase those sales. We look at those different strategies. Yeah. We kind of link everything together, the costs that will be incurred for marketing, the spend that will be required for marketing as well.
So I think let's reel it back a little bit in terms of the discussion. We've got so many topics to cover, which we'd like to kind of break it down into bite-sized pieces of information that our listeners can take back and implement if they're on this journey of entrepreneurship. So what is the first thing you would tell someone if they want to start a business? Where should I start? I've got an idea. What do I do?
Okay, so you have a business idea. It's either to sell a product or sell a service. So first look at what is the demand for your product or service in the market. Identify the demand, identify the need. If it's a service, can you, how is it going to help somebody? What results is it going to give somebody? Can you tweak the service in such a way that it fulfills the requirements of the end consumer? Because remember, everybody buys a product for a reason, which is a result most of the time, especially on a service-based business, right? So have a look to ensure there is a need for your product. Have a look at the competition around you. Who else is selling a product or a service similar to me? What are they doing right and what are they doing wrong, in your opinion? So how can you use that information to differentiate what you offer or what you sell? Look at the volume. Okay, you've got to, how much of your product or your service are you going to sell during the month, the year that will generate your revenue?
So basically, you start off by understanding the requirement of your particular product in the market, and then you move on to the pricing element of it.
Absolutely, move on to the pricing. Once you've...
Can I stop you there for a second? A lot of us, especially in this day and age, any business idea that we think of already has competition in the market.
Yeah.
And a lot of the competitors are doing the same things as we are. And most of them end up doing well as well, or that's the perception we have. Then how do you still justify a business idea such as that?
It's given consumers a choice, right? Mm-hmm. An alternative to the product that's available in the market.
Yeah.
If the market is big enough and the product is something that's highly in demand, highly in sought after, then it's just more choice for the consumer. For example, if you look at supermarkets, if Carrefour, Spinneys, Waitrose all stopped, that actually Carrefour's stopped because there's already a Spinneys or a Waitrose, why should I sell? Then they wouldn't be in business, right?
Yeah. Exactly.
So it's taking that mindset. If you know you have a strong product, then it will sell and you will generate sales. You can then compete on price. You can compete on differentiating the product slightly.
Service, or just... I really like the example of the area where I live. Every building literally has a grocery shop and a pharmacy. And they all end up doing really well because the convenience factor
Absolutely.
And the service of getting something within the building supersedes, you know, having to walk in the heat and finding something which would be slightly cheaper. So I would want to emphasize that that should not be something that deters people from starting, right? A lot of
No.
people just think that they need to find the next unique idea that's not been done before, and there may not be a lot of that now.
No, absolutely. And when you do find such, if you do have a product which is appealing to people, mass market, but there are other competitors in there, identify what percentage of the market share can you gain and mm-hmm. how. Be realistic. You're not yeah. going to go in, if there's 5-6 competitors or a lot of competitors in the market, you're all selling that one product. You're not going to go and get 100% of that market. Mm-hmm. But you can do some research to understand what share everybody has and what share you can gain, and how you gain that market share. You can work on your marketing strategy or branding and the messaging that you put out, convenience, how, where people can buy your product, etc. That helps you to drive that share.
Yeah, you're not necessarily targeting clients of an existing competitor either, right? You may be kind of tapping into a market or a group of people that have never used this product before.
Absolutely.
And then that's where your market is. It's not so much stealing business from yeah. someone.
Absolutely. So never feel, if you feel you have a strong product and the numbers make sense, that there is a demand for this product and I can market it and I can take some of the market share and I can make money, then go for it.
Yeah. So before we go,
it depends how risk averse you are as well.
Yes.
I think that's another thing. It's a mindset yeah. as well, right?
Yeah.
So it is a risk, but that's a mindset, how you get over that.
Everything is a risk.
That's yeah. part Absolutely. Of the planning that you would need to do beforehand, right? Where you say, what is my appetite? How much? All of that. So do all of these components go into your business plan? Is that what it is?
Absolutely.
Ahead of, you know, launching anything?
Sure. So what you would do is you'd look at your market. You'd look at the demand for the product. You'd look at the market share that you can gain. Based on that, how much of the product you would sell. And then depending on what price you set, based on looking at your competitor pricing, etc., what you feel comfortable on setting as a price to sell your products, you can calculate your revenue based on that. That'll give you the numbers that you want.
Yeah.
It's very interesting that you haven't mentioned the cost of production or raw material cost. Instead, you've kind of taken the outside-in approach, maybe the way I see it, in terms of approaching it through research, which is interesting and maybe more effective.
When I look at a business, if I look at a product, I firstly look, is there a demand for such a product or a service? Because I can have a great product in my mind, but then there's no demand for that product
yeah.
in the market. Nobody wants it.
Then
you're stuck.
It doesn't matter how you make it, basically.
Exactly. It doesn't matter how great my product is.
Yeah.
Or I can have a great product and it can I can go in and generate that demand mm. and awareness and create that consumer need as well by my marketing
yeah.
strategy, etc.
Then that's just an
That's
extra.
A different aspect.
Yeah.
But in terms of costs, cost management is important. So when you've identified your product, have a look. If you're manufacturing, have a look at what is it going to cost you. Because those elements, those cost elements come in hand to help you set your pricing. Because
yeah.
you need to make a margin to help you towards paying for your overheads
exactly.
to get to a profit at the
yeah.
end. If we talk about costings, look at what it's going to cost you to manufacture that product or buy it,
yeah.
The delivery to get it in,
yes.
the logistics. Consider time as well. Exactly. It's the lead time to get the products delivered in time, because that impacts the service delivery, etc.
I think in terms of time, I think at times that's bigger than your cost in terms of dirham or dollar value, in terms of, you know, what it requires to put your product out there. And when I say time, maybe in that category, I also put something linked to passion, where,
yeah.
you know, your product might be kind of something that a friend has told you is a great product. And you're like, oh, yeah, this is an easy business. There's good demand out
yeah.
there, out like thin air. You're pulling kind of facts from thin air without doing
yeah.
research. That's easy to do. But to run a business is a huge responsibility. And so you have to be passionate about that product, right? So is that something that our kind of listener should start with, you think? Where, okay, how passionate am I about this particular product beforehand? Or what do you think about that?
I think passion drives the energy that you have behind your business, your product, right? The passion shows in the way you approach your business, the way you market your product, the way you send the messaging out to the market, to the consumers, and when you talk about your product as well to people.
It lands.
It lands right. And that's important.
Yeah.
So if you're not passionate about it, then you don't believe in your product.
Yeah.
You still have a question mark in your head. If you've got that question mark and you're not believing in it, are you really going to make it a success?
Yeah, I think
you won't be driven.
Yeah, unless you're an investing partner or in a role where you're pretty distant from the business, I don't think it works unless you're passionate. A lot of my earlier business ideas or my husband's earlier business ideas used to be very much about just looking at demand. Oh, there's a demand for X industrial product. But can we live lives selling an industrial product that we don't know anything about, that we don't want to know anything about?
Yeah.
Probably not. I don't think
that's,
from my experience, it doesn't last very long. So I think that that's kind of where everything starts, right? In terms of passion, unless you're, like I said, investing.
Exactly. Yeah.
Even then, there needs to be a little bit of interest to look at the numbers, to keep an eye on the business.
See, when you're passionate about your product, it's helping you to grow as well.
Yeah.
You'll have bigger ideas. So you may start off with a product that you just want to launch locally and you've done well, you've captured the local market, and then you'll think, okay, well, how can I take this international? Or you may want to start with a product that, you know what, I see a good product, there's demand for this, I'm going to start it locally, then I'm going to grow on to the next eastern markets, then I'm going to go into the northern markets and go global, international with it. But that's a drive that comes within, because you're passionate about your product, your business, and you have faith in it.
Yeah.
And confidence.
Yes.
But sometimes people have products that they think are a good idea, but they're not sure. In those scenarios, I say do enough research. Have a look at who will buy, understand your market, understand how will you market this product to create awareness. That's important. You need to create awareness about your product and your services.
Yes, I would like to put a point to support what you previously said, both of you, in parts about brand awareness and creating that demand if you think that that doesn't exist. And then Rupali mentioned about the time aspect of things as well. And I think we tend to disregard this so much in terms of if there's a new service. So my first business was a kids book subscription service, and that was newish for the region, I would say. And just the time that goes into creating that awareness, creating the need for this product, is a big commitment. That means you're literally creating demand that could take years to show up in terms of results. And you may or may not want to go down that route, right? That's something that should be considered. And the second,
the product life cycle that we'd call, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Look at, because if you've got a new product like that, that people are not aware of, it's a new service you're introducing, you've got to create the demand for it.
Yeah.
So you can create it by creating the brand awareness, creating marketing that is aimed at your target markets, and explaining how it's going to change their lives and give them the results that they want, how it's going to be useful to them.
Yeah,
that is all time consuming and it's intense. But a lot of new products that come into the market come in this way and form, right? They have a whole product life cycle that we go into.
Yeah, for sure.
So,
but then I think the business owners need to be aware of the time that they have available to give to this business. Number one, you need to be aware that a few years may be without revenue, but with expenses. And also, if they want to cut down on the time, then they may want to look at hiring teams early on, which has been a part of my experience in terms of seeing the difference between having a team and not having a team, thinking I could do everything by myself, which maybe a lot of solopreneurs start out thinking as. So I think that's a big kind of piece of the puzzle that people just tend to ignore, right?
They do. I think with a product which is just brand new, being launched, new idea, when you're creating the whole market awareness and the need in the markets, it's going to take time to grow.
Yes.
So your demand may not be as high at that point. So your revenue may not be as strong.
Interrupt you there for 1 second, because I just wanted to point out that more often than not, what entrepreneurs do is they forget the fact that you have to kind of create that awareness. Doesn't mean that you think your product is a good idea, that everyone is already aware. So the second your website is up and your shop is opened, that doesn't mean now the whole world is aware that you've arrived. There's so much that goes into it, right?
Absolutely.
So sorry, I have to just add that in there.
It's the most anticlimactic thing to see your website go up, because you think, oh my God, it's a launch. We're launching on this day at this time. No one else cares or knows.
No one knows yet properly.
No, you know, because you've put in the time, the effort, the attention to the detail as to the font to be used, the way it should look, what messaging you want to deliver. Is that website delivering it or not, right? So all this thought process has gone into it. But the end client doesn't know that.
No.
They're just going to see a website and they're going to see your product.
They don't even see it yet until you kind of push it out there.
Absolutely. And then it's, well, how are you going to drive people to this website or to your product? So what I work with a client, if we reel it back a little, what I do, when a client comes to me with a business idea, I sit down, I look at these factors, and we talk them through the whole cycle. Mm-hmm. Because each business is different. Each product is different. Each service is different.
Each entrepreneur is different
as well. And the way they do business is different based on their risk management and the mindset. So I go through and provide that service. I have discussions with them and we develop a strategy. And that strategy is there to help you focus on your business, and it gives you direction.
Yes.
Because that's important as well. Yes. You need direction, because you've got a product. Okay, where am I going to sell it? What's the demand? Who are my competitors? You've got all of that. But then we come to the cost parts, which we touched on earlier, right? How much is it going to cost me to put this out onto the market?
Yes.
What's marketing expenses?
Yes.
Do I need extra people in to help me to run my company? Do I need to use freelancers at the moment, part-timers? At what point will the demand increase, or will my product be successful, my service be successful? And does it make sense to start getting recruiting a team? And then it's not just from a cost perspective, but it's recruiting the right people at the right time and in the right seat. One of the statements people make is having the right people on the bus. And that's the thing. You need the right people on the around the table who are expert in their areas, because they will help you drive the business forward.
Yeah.
And another thing with a business plan or your business strategy, what it helps to do is it defines what your strategy is, defines what your vision is for your business and what your goals are.
Yeah.
So everybody can follow those goals and everybody's on the same vision and track. But it should be such that it's flexible as well. Because you need to be flexible with your business so that you can flex your style, flex your plan to move with the market and the demand.
Yeah, I think the business plan document is not a static document by any means. It's constantly changing. It's something that's constantly being worked on. So in my experience, as you know, the delivery costs were very different to what we had first expected.
Yeah.
So we did our research with kids' books and we looked at cost of buying them from warehouses. And we got somewhat of an estimate of what it would cost to bring them into Dubai. The actual landed cost was double of what we were expecting, which threw our numbers off by a lot. And also the domestic courier services were very different as well. So I think with these two numbers, we had to kind of improvise. We had to see how to change strategy. So it's
pricing changes as well. This has an impact on your margins, right?
Yeah.
Because it's straight in cost of selling your goods.
Exactly.
So what you've got to be aware of when you do your analysis is run a few assumptions, run a few different models.
Yeah.
If you're different scenarios with different prices, with different cost bases. So when you're going through these changes in business, or when you come across these scenarios in business, you kind of know what price. Okay, well, because my costs are high, I can increase my price price to X because I've got room for that based on my research that I've done in advance already. And it's a learning thing. So learning journey as you go all the way through. And I think once you start your business, it's really important to have that pulse on the numbers. Keep looking at what's happening. What are the costs? Where are they changing? And keep your forecast changing. Keep updating your forecast continuously. Mm-hmm. Update your numbers with the actuals. Well, we thought it would cost us 20,000 for logistics. Actually, mm-hmm. it's now costing us 30. Okay. So I need to change my prices. Change your prices. See how that happens. The demand is not as much as we thought. So realign your forecast.
It's very interesting because what you do and what you're talking about brings a lot of qualitative analysis to a very quantitative mathematical side of things. And I think a lot of the strategy comes from that analysis, knowledge, experience that you bring to the table. And to add to that, I wanted to know if you have any tips for people who may feel scared to look at their numbers. If you were expecting it to be at 20,000 and you know it's gone to 40,000, you know the numbers are not going to look good. So for many people, for example, it's easier not to open their bank accounts to see what the balance is because they know it's not going to look how they want it to look. And similarly, they may not want to update the plans. Do you come across people like this? And how do they deal with this mindset block?
I haven't come across people like that to date. Ooh. As yet. I think people who come to me are...
They're committed to...
Committed. Yeah. So far, I've worked with startups. So we've identified a product, business plan, and we've worked the numbers, then the business has launched, and then we are reforecasting each mm-hmm. way. We're learning as we are going along. Because remember, plan, the budget is made up on a set of assumptions
yes.
based on research that you've conducted at that time. The reality is different. It's playing out differently. So we're updating the numbers continuously. To those who are in that space that don't want to open their numbers or have identified that the numbers are not looking good, I would say speak to somebody.
Yeah.
The worst thing you can do is not look at it and avoid it.
Yeah. This is where services like yours come in, right? So, for Absolutely. Example, when you're committing to someone like yourself, you are kind of held accountable for it, one. But two, you're also having a conversation with someone that's not involved day to day in your business, which is, you know, I can't put enough emphasis on that, the importance of that, because day to day, there's so much that you're kind of fighting and, you know, operationally kind of dealing with that you forget the bigger picture while it's lurking in your mind somewhere. Unless you've committed and paid for a service, you are likely not going to kind of be as diligent about, you know, understanding that. And from what I understand, some of the work that you're doing, like Kalyani mentioned, there's a lot of qualitative work going on. And some of the topics that you've touched on actually do highlight changing a person's or helping a person's mindset in terms of changing the strategy going forward versus the past. Yeah. So it's not something that is, you know, just numbers and okay, we did 10%. Okay, let's reforecast 20% expenses are higher by 20. Let's increase prices by 20. That's by no means what you do. What you do is a full 360 on a business. And while people consider that as a like a cost, an outflow, I think there's immense value in this kind of investment.
Absolutely. It's a matter of when you're going to spend that money, what you need to look at is, especially in marketing and promotional, what is the return? How is it going to drive my demand, my sales? Am I going to get the results that I want? Some marketing strategies work, some don't. That's fine. So then you learn from that and say, okay, this marketing, I've not got the results that I wanted, but that's because I used XYZ marketing strategies. Well, if you look at those different marketing campaigns that you used, the different channels of advertising, for example, have a look at why they didn't work. Was it the messaging wasn't right? Was it the timing of ads not being right? So having somebody, rather than shutting off and saying, I don't want to look and I don't want to address the problem that I am facing currently of my bad performance in the business, it's wiser to say, no, I have, my business isn't performing as I wanted it to.
Yeah.
I need to have a discussion with somebody who's not going to judge me.
Yeah,
because remember, a person's not going to judge you because your product's failed or your business has not got as well as you wanted to. It's not in your hands to a certain extent, right?
I think
but they'll help you.
This is it, yeah.
That you get an outsider's perspective, because when you're working on your business, you're working in your business. Sometimes it consumes you.
You very much start identifying the success of the business as your own success or your own achievement or a measurement of how you are as a person, pretty much.
Mm.
So I have had these feelings before, come across such people who feel very conscious of how their business will do and or has done in the past, and they'll probably kind of be really affected by the success or failure of it, or just not enter a business knowing that this could be a possibility. So that's again going back to a mindset, right? I think a lot of it has to do with also bringing like a certain X amount of money that you hold very dear from your savings, let's say, to start a business, and then not wanting to lose that as also a measure of success. So maybe as a last question, is there any light that you can shed on this? How can people not be hyper-focused on success, failure, a pot of money, set amount of money to make their business work?
So when a business fails or it's not performing as well as you want it to, getting that outside help and that advice is helpful in the sense that it gives you a fresh perspective, because you're so deeply involved in the business and somehow you've got so deeply involved in why it's not working, or you're just concentrating on it's not working, you're unable to take a step back and identify why. So somebody having that discussion with an outsider can help you to look at it from the outset, and then they can help you give a fresh perspective and discover the alternative methods, if possible, the changes that can be made to get it back on track.
And I can definitely vouch for any discussions with you being super non-judgmental, and any judgment that an entrepreneur generally tends to be scared of is coming normally from within, not from help that you might seek.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think when you mentioned outsider, I just want to clarify that a lot of people tend to rely on their friends and family for support, yes, advice. These friends and family may not be equipped, skilled, it may not be their thing. So
totally,
that may be completely counterproductive. So when we say outsider or third person, we intend on meaning like a skilled professional within this kind of field.
This is huge, because a lot of people think that they're being vulnerable and opening up and getting advice, so to say, from friends and family who will have strong opinions on what you're asking them about, but they don't have any experience with it.
So, and you'll take it very seriously too, because there's so much emotion involved. You know this person.
Yeah,
so it's absolutely not productive.
No, not at all.
It's a matter of holding that respect for that person that you have. And you might also think, well, they've been successful, so they have value to add.
Yes.
Sometimes a lot of the time we go to certain people is because, oh, well, they've done really well, they're so successful. But it may not be the right advice, or they not have that understanding of your product or your market.
Yeah.
And because it's family and friends, sometimes we don't give out the full detail of our business as well. So that's why going to somebody outside, an outsider for help, it adds value. They give fresh perspective. They don't know you. There's no judgment. They're just interested in your business, your numbers, and how they can help you move forward.
Yes.
So like you, for example, Jayshree, I just wanted to point out, because through our previous conversations, you've mentioned the number of industries you've worked with, the number of corporates you've worked with. You've worked with so many startups here in Dubai and the UAE.
Yeah.
And so I think someone like yourself has so much experience to kind of leverage off. It's not just about your accounting degree. Actually, it's about the real world, the economics of things, understanding a holistic kind of 360 view of everything that's going on within a particular business. I think that's the value someone like yourself brings. And so if anyone's out there, I mean, of course, you know,
absolutely,
we're sharing Jayshree's details in our show notes.
Absolutely.
So reach out.
See, what happened is through my career, I started off in accounting, doing accounting roles, and I progressed up the corporate ladder in moving around different jobs and ending up in different industries, which interested me. And what I think for me, it was that interest in business as well. I loved numbers, but not just the numbers. It was interest in the business. So how does it all work? In the larger corporates, you've got various different departments. The sales team who go out and get the sales. Well, what are the challenges that the sales teams face? How do they manage the markets, their regions, their areas? Working with a marketing department, justifying that marketing spend to the management to say, yes, if we spend this amount of money, that will bring us this revenue, the sales will increase by X amount.
Yeah.
Logistics, getting the product. We have a fantastic product, but from production warehouses to the distributors, how are we going to get that to there? It fascinated me how all these components worked, and I had that interest, and I learned being working with these people on different projects in business, and that's what helped me to get up through the corporate ladder as well. And I think those learnings helped me to help others. So yeah.
So you're a fantastic example for anyone who have maybe taken a longer break, who is still passionate about what they do, and they can start at any age, they can rebrand themselves.
Absolutely. I think you can start at any time.
Yes.
Like we said earlier, knowledge and experience is something that stays with you. Yeah. It's something that can't be taken away. I started refreshing some of my technical knowledge recently to bring me up to date with changes and the standards. We do our CPD as it is, but I felt areas that I wanted to spend more time in and get a better understanding of, so that I can then better help my clients on certain situations. And even when I'm working on different projects or different industries, I'll always do some background reading and education for myself to learn more about that industry, about that scenario, how I can help, etc. So it's an ongoing, learning is something that's ongoing.
Yes, that's,
and there's no age limit. You can take a break and come back anytime.
And that's why you have to be passionate about it, right?
So you have to be passionate. Passionate.
It all comes back to mindset, passion, and then your commitment and structuring your business the way it kind of lands in the right way, as intended, being agile with it all. It's an ongoing process. And I think this conversation has been so interesting for myself, as I'm sure it was for you, Kalyani.
Totally.
In terms
thank
of
you.
Just, yeah, honestly. So thank you so much.
I think
thank
we talked you. About so much. It was an introduction.
Yes, it was.
Yeah, because there's so much to talk about.
Yes.
Many more to come.
And hopefully many more to come.
We'd love to hear from the listeners if there are any specific questions that you'd want us to direct the conversation towards with Jayashree next time. And we'll pop your email address in the show notes for people to get in touch with you.
Yep.
So you can then choose if you'd like to work with anyone.
Absolutely. Anybody who wants to work, me send email to my email address, jayashree@insightfulnumbers.com, and I'll be happy to work with you.
Thank you very much. We'll be back next week with a new episode.
Thank you for having me. Take care.
So please share this podcast, leave your reviews, your comments to support us on our journey. We are so passionate about making your lives more abundant with this information.
So with that, we bring this episode of Our Financial Adventure to an end. Please follow us on all social media platforms at Fantastic Females.
None of the information provided is financial advice, and Fantastic Females is not a financial advisor.
The information provided is educational only. It is general in nature and does not take into account your personal circumstances.
Please use your own due diligence before making any financial or investment decisions.